You are listening to a special edition of Weekend Perspective. I'm Terry Barr. A new study indicates one-third of us feels stressed out or anxious right now. It's probably not a surprise considering the country is in crisis. So how do we deal with these emotions? What a mental health expert suggests, coming up later in this hour. First, there are the protests leading to many discussions about race and what we can do to make a difference moving forward. Dr. Jack Daniels put his thoughts in a letter. The president of Madison College is also a leader in the Black community, and I had the chance to ask him about the importance of reaching out.
There's several reasons why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
The first reason for me is we live in a community, and the community is being impacted by what has happened or what has happened over the past couple of weeks. And I think as the one of the leaders of the community and leading Madison College,
yes,
it was important to have our perspective, because we are an institution that prides itself on equity and inclusion and fairness. One of our main values is about respect. And if, in fact, we can't exhibit that and evidence it, then what is our role? And I believe strongly that our role is about inclusion and equity, but also, you know, we're an educational institution,
mm-hmm,
but we are the community's college as well.
Right.
And we have a role in the community, and we need to engage community, and we need to understand the community. And that's the reason I actually put this together.
Oh, well, thank you. It's powerful. Obviously, you're talking about some of the things you've seen and witnessed over time. You listed, and when you see it in a list of all the cities where there has been unjust actions in the past, I worked in Cincinnati in 2001, so I'm very familiar with that. But I think what strikes me is that here we are in 2020, and we're looking back at these, and we haven't been able to get forward. And this feels different. What is so different, do you think, this time maybe compared to all of the other times when people were protesting?
I think that, and I'll put this in context.
Yeah.
Though I put and identify many of the insurrections that have occurred over the past, there are multiple ones that I never addressed and that I'll have no knowledge of.
Yeah.
Because they happen all over. It just hasn't resulted in a national focus on a particular city.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens continually all over. And so I think we need to be able to address what are the underlying issues that actually project these and put these insurrections, if you will,
mm-hmm,
these protests out there in our public view. I think what has driven this recent public view, and I think that you see some change, is that it came to us on TV, in social media, on the internet,
mm-hmm,
and you can actually witness the murder.
Yeah.
And when you witness what is actually happening at that time, it's not a movie, it's actually happening, that then drives people to say, what are we doing? Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
How can we not be affected by this? What can we be doing so that we don't have to go down this pathway again? I think that has generated a lot of concern about how people actually feel. The If you read many of the articles that have been written in the last 10 days, and trying to understand what that African-American male feels, I think that's important, an important first step into understanding the African-American culture and the African-American and the African-American male and how they feel in a society that has disenfranchised them, ignored them, and quite frankly, have killed them.
Yeah. Are you hopeful that, as you mentioned, these various people, I know, sports, music, that are speaking out, that are writing letters as you did, and your letter, that will help people start a conversation that maybe we haven't had before? Or do you feel like that's already happening now where it really hasn't before?
I think we've had the conversation before. That's part of my frustration.
Yeah.
we've had these conversations. I think it has taken on a different meaning, a different depth right now. And it's how you keep that in front as you make sustainable change, because we haven't had sustainable change.
Right.
And that's the key for me. It's about how do you effectuate sustainable change, mm-hmm. where we don't have to come down these pathways again.
No, I don't think anybody wants to go down this again. When you see the protests currently, what do you think or what do you feel as you watch them out there doing this?
I think primarily what we're seeing are peaceful protests,
mm-hmm.
which is the right of us as a people of this country to do. Yes, you're going to have some of those whose intention is not about protesting, but is about destruction of property. But the other side of that coin is that what does it take to get aware? How do you get this in front of you? I understand the protest very well.
Mm-hmm.
I understand actually the violence on property, though I don't condone it. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And having some type of event that really puts out front and say, hey, let's deal with this. Because if you don't, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen that since 65. And I know it happened prior to that.
Gosh.
So I'm hopeful that because this light is now being shed and everyone is trying to take a part of that and to see what they can do, my hope is that we will make some type of change. But I think there's a process, there's phases that have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm encouraged, strongly encouraged, by my fellow 15 technical colleges in the state. To each one of them, they have addressed and starting to have those dialogues at each one of their institutions regarding race. And as I've looked at what they have written, I'm so very proud to be a part of the WTCS.
Oh, that's great.
And the WTCS has also made a very strong commitment to inclusion and equity. And, you know, to be, I heard this term yesterday. In fact, I read about it, anti-racist.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, there's a difference in being a non-racist and an anti-racist. And I think years ago, I'll go back to my time when I lived in California for a long period of time, because Angela Davis actually talked about that difference between that non-racist and that anti-racist. And we have to be anti about racism.
Yes. What can we do to help? What can, you know, the collective us, I guess, and I know I mentioned to you, we opened up our phone lines here to let people talk. Is that a good start? I mean, obviously it's not enough because we got to push forward to do more and have, as you said, something sustainable. But where do we start? Or are the protests a good start? Is listening and talking a good start? Where do we go from here?
I think it's multiple prongs.
Okay.
I think it is a good start for the protest because it shows that there is a collective that is concerned and wants change.
Yes.
I think it's a good start when your music station allows people to call in and let's talk about their feelings. How are they accepting this? How is that impacting them? Because it impacts individuals differently.
Yeah.
It impacts cultures differently. And we've got to get that out. We've got to talk about it. I think that another prong here is about voting. We have to have folks who are elected representing everyone, and those individuals need to have integrity. They need to have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have the understanding of the folks that they are representing and issues they bring with them. And we've got to do a bang-up job at the ballot box.
Yes.
And that's important because when you have elected officials, they have influence or they have appointing responsibility and authority over sheriffs, over heads of law enforcement agencies. I mean, they have a lot of that authority that's vested into them. But if you can't get folks who elect folks who have that sense of fairness and don't have to depend on rhetoric,
mm-hmm.
That's the type of folks that we need, and you're only going to get that by being proactive at the ballot box.
Yes. Do you feel, as we wrap up our conversation, do you feel hopeful?
I want to feel hopeful.
Yes.
But the evidence of hopefulness is the actual action. You got to see it. You got to be able to feel it. And in the past, that hasn't happened. In the past, when anything has occurred, we may be so intent and focused on it for 2 weeks, and then it dies.
Yeah.
If I see that sustainability and that continue to push from every entity within our community, the business industry, the sector, the educational sector, the governmental sector, all of those and being intent upon understanding and changing behavior, then I'm going to be quite hopeful.
Uh-huh. Where I'm going to ask you another question. What should happen next? I know you kind of laid out the protesting is working, the listening, the voting has to come next. What can we do right now? It's got to be the conversations, right?
I think you have to have an appreciation of where we are.
Yes, okay.
You know, this is the death is whenever anyone dies, you have a grieving period. Right now, it's about grieving.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? How do we help folks through this process? And mm-hmm. a lot of it's about listening and crying with each other, talking with each other. That's that empathy I talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we have to do. And then we've got to have a strong strategic plan, action, with measurable outcomes and how do we make this movement further?
Yes.
And we've got to, and that's got to be collaborative. It just can't be just one element of the community doing that. It's got to be the major sectors of the community, mm-hmm. including the residents of the community. And as that happens, and, you know, we take these steps and we look at what has the step mean? What did we accomplish? Are there interventions we still need to be putting in? And we do that, we continue to follow it through. But I think we've got to allow folks to vent, to grieve, mm-hmm. and then move to the next step, the next phase. The other thing here, this is different also.
Yeah.
Because in 65 through March of this year, we weren't dealing with a pandemic.
Yes.
At the level of COVID-19.
Right, right.
So we have two major crises here, COVID-19 and racism. And they have both come up at the same time.
Yeah.
So we've got to understand, how do we navigate effectively, listening effectively, and acting responsibly?
Thank you to Dr. Jack Daniels, president of Madison College, for sharing his thoughts behind the open letter he wrote to the community. You can find a link to it on our website, WOLX.com. Coming up, Kitty Dunn talks with an author who shares a dark and painful story, and later, dealing with our mental health through these challenging times. You are listening to a special edition of Weekend Perspective.